All right, how y'all doing this afternoon? Dennis Sampson coming at you here, and we are continuing in our study here in the book of Genesis, chapter number 15. So in Genesis chapter number 15, we are going to read for our text today, verses 1 down through verse 7. We'll pray and see what the Lord's got for us today. Amen. So in Genesis 15, verse 1, after these things. Now what things is that? That's everything that transpired back in chapter 14. Okay? After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came on him, saying, This shall not be thy heir, but he shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And the Lord being our helper this afternoon, we'd like to bring our thought at this time on dark details. Dark details. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us. And we pray, Father, for your blessings upon this study. Help us, Father, to learn all that we can about your holy word. And more importantly, that each and every one who hears what is being said here won't just take what I'm saying as the gospel truth, but they'll get in there and they'll investigate for themselves, learn all they can for themselves, and go beyond what they're hearing here, because there's so much more. This is just a quick overview of these particular chapters that we feel that you've led us to go through. And I pray, Father, that it would stimulate the thoughts and the imaginations of your people so that they would get a heart for your word. Thank you, God, once again for all you've done for us, especially that greatest gift that you gave, the gift of salvation. We love you, Lord, and in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. So, dark details. Now, what we started off here, the first seven verses, that don't seem very dark, but they're leading up to what we're going to see are these dark details. Now, let me just say this. There are times when we get what we want, okay? But it turns out it wasn't what we were expecting, okay? Now, I'm sure that Abram, as he's starting off here, this little conversation, you know, he's wanting some promises from God, but without a son, he felt he had nothing. And God gave Abram the promise of a son, but he also gave him some of those dark details. And I am sure Abram didn't want to hear what all he had to say. Yes, you're going to have a son, but listen, this is how bad it's going to get. Yeah, can we kind of forget that part, God? You know, that's not how it was, okay? Now, how's the old saying go? Be careful what you wish for. Well, Abram got what he wished for and then a little bit more. But that is life, though. Now, we have to take the bad along with the good and just keep on trusting the Lord. Amen? Now, Satan's going to do whatever he can to discourage us. But no matter what, we need to keep looking to God. Our tendency is to be like Abram and keep our sights set low. And we find that in verses 1 to 3. Now, before any issues to be dealt with, God wanted to reinforce what he was to Abram. Okay? Now, God wanted Abram to understand that as his shield, God was promising to protect him from everything if he would just trust him. Now, again, Genesis is the book of first, and this is the first time that the word shield is used in Scripture, and it is used in conjunction with not being afraid. And fear is the opposite of faith. Okay? And it's really hard for us to have faith, but it's really easy for us to get afraid. Amen? Okay? And if I'm the only one in that boat, I'll just have to call a whole bunch of people liars, because I know I'm not the only one in this boat. Amen? But I do find it interesting to note that the only time in the New Testament that the word shield appears is over there in Ephesians chapter number 6, where it is called the shield of faith. Now, by starting off with this reassurance, it is possible that Abram was worried that the king of Sodom, from back there in chapter number 14, was feeling slighted and might start some trouble for Abram. Now, we do know that given the dark details to follow concerning his descendants, Abram was going to need all the comfort and support and protection that he could get. Now, with all the encouragement coming from God, Abram still had a very heavy heart, though. He had no heir, and let's be honest, he knew he was getting old. Okay, he's getting long in the tooth. And from his point of view, you know, what good are promises of so many descendants if there wasn't that first child? Okay, you can't have grandkids without actually having kids. Now, the custom back in Mesopotamia, where he was raised, was to adopt a servant if need be in order to be able to have an heir. And in man's eyes, that was totally legal. And what appears that Abram had in mind was he was contemplating doing exactly this. Now, at least Abram was speaking directly to God and not just thinking out loud or talking out of the side of his mouth like we have a tendency to do. Trouble is, he went from making an honest question to the Lord to an outright accusation there in verse number 3. He was basically accusing God of not being true. This promised heir had been just that for a few years now, and still no child had been produced. Okay, now this brings us to the stars innumerable in verses 4 to 6. So God comes back and he outright rejects Abram's plan. Now, there is no adoption that would be necessary for there to be an heir, because the true heir would be his biological child. At this point, God took Abram to a place where he could clearly see the night sky. Okay, now listen to this. This is good. In this area of the world where there is no light pollution going on to obscure a person's view, the scientists say that you can count about 5,000 stars with the naked eye. If you had a 16-inch telescope, you can count over 50,000 stars in the sky in that part of the world, and you still cannot see them all. Okay? That's just to give you a glimpse of an idea as to what's going on. Now, at the same time, you got to remember, that's in that one area alone. That doesn't cover the entire universe, the entire cosmos that is surrounding Abram, that surrounds us. And there's billions upon billions upon billions of stars, stars that we haven't even seen with the Hubble Space Telescope yet. Okay? And God's saying, hey, you count all them, you're going to find out how many descendants you're going to have. Now, God was giving Abram a great deal of hope. Now, over in Romans chapter number 4, and I'd like to read verse 16 through 18 for you real quick. It says here, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end of the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Okay? As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. In other words, Abram had some physical difficulties having kids by this time. He says, who hath quickened the dead there? Okay? Verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope, talking about Abraham, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Okay? Now, God's saying, hey, don't you worry about those physical problems, because I am God and nothing is impossible for me. And Abraham, or Abram as he's known here in this passage of Scripture in Genesis chapter 15, he got hope from God. God came through and gave him some reassurance, and he went with it. Now, such a promise and visual demonstration, you know, go out and count all the stars, they must have been very convincing, because not only did Abram believe God, but his faith was so strong that God counted it as righteousness. And that word righteousness, Mm-hmm. That means the state of being right with God, something we should all strive to be. Amen. Now, in verses 7 to 11, we see the sacrifice made. Now, with his decision on Abram's part, God identified himself. He wasn't some dead idol. Praise God. He wasn't one who called Abram out of his former home in Ur, but he was only the God in that area, so he had to transfer Abram to the care of another God, okay? He had Abram start to finish, from the before he was conceived in his mother's womb, all the way through the end of eternity. He's got Abram. Now, not only did he bring Abram out of Ur, but specifically he brought him to this land to give it to him. Praise God. When God calls you to someplace specifically, He means it. He ain't going to lead you blindly. He ain't going to lead you to someplace and say, well, let's see if this is good for you. Nah, I don't think this isn't good for you, and keep moving on. Nope. He leads you someplace specific. We may not have the eyes for it, but praise God, He does. Okay? Now, all this is brought up because the basis for this covenant that God was going to make with Abram would be founded on his own character and nothing of Abram's. Since the foundation of any building must be the strongest point, what better place than to rest it all on God, the sovereign creator of heaven and earth? Now, at this point, Abram responded with a question. He said, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? Now, this was not a faithless question like Zacharias had asked when he was told that he was going to have a son. As he said there in Luke chapter 1, verse 18, when he was confronted by Gabriel, Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. Now, Zacharias is a priest. You'd think he'd have a little bit more faith, but his faith didn't measure up to Abram's, that's for sure. Okay. Abram, when he asked this, you know, how shall I know that I shall inherit it? Okay? This was basically he was saying, hey, God, can you put this in writing for me? You know, there's just something about that. He wasn't doubting. He was saying, hey, look, let me go and show everyone. I got it right here. Check it out. Okay? Now, God gives Abram directions on making a sacrifice to establish this covenant. Now, five animals were to be used to show the seriousness of this contract. By the way, the number five is a spiritual number for grace there in the Bible, which Abram definitely needed. Don't misunderstand that. Using these animals were how contracts were made back then, and the ceremony that would follow would make the covenant irrevocable and beyond dispute. The animals would be divided in half, and those involved in making the covenant, they would pass between the pieces. The irrevocable part comes in that whoever would break the contract would themselves be cut in half, just like these animals were. Now, real quickly, the symbolism of the animals that were used, the first is the heifer, and the heifer refers to a cow before having a calf. In other words, a virgin. Okay? The second one we have is the goat, or the scapegoat, who would bear the sins away. The third we have is a ram, which is symbolic of strength. Fourthly, we have the turtle dove, and that's also often used figuratively as a term of endearment. Okay? Endearment, I'm sorry, mispronounced. And, something special. You're very special to me type thing. Okay? The young pigeon, these were too young to have feathers, so it wasn't capable of caring for itself. And, you know, no matter how rich we are, no matter what position in life we have, when it comes down to it, we're incapable of helping ourselves. We need God, okay? Now, with all this, God was graciously accommodating Abram's request for a sign. One of which Abram probably expected to involve fire coming down to consume the animals, but instead, all he got were some fowls or birds of prey coming down. These, by definition, were carnivores, and they were liable to be carrying disease, and they would want to carry off the sacrifice and eat it. But not only was seeing these birds here and obvious messing with the sacrificial animals, but it also was a foreboding of the coming news of the 400 plus years of enslavement for Abram's descendants. However, there is some surety given, and that's in verses 12 to 17. Nothing happened right away, obviously. Okay? So it could be a matter of God having him wait by the sacrifice to show him that it would take place in God's time and not his. Deep sleep fell upon Abram because he was not to make the walk in between the pieces himself. Okay? There was no promise to be made on his part. This was strictly God. Okay? One-on-one God. And it just extended to Abram and his descendants. Now the Bible talks about this great horror or great darkness or misery that was this vision of seeing, and it was the vision of seeing basically the slavery and cruelty that was coming to his descendants there in the land of Egypt. It would have been similar to watching the birds of prey descending upon the animals there for the sacrifice. Only this time there was absolutely nothing Abram could do about it. And I'll be honest with you, I'm one of these type of people. If I can do something, I want to do it. Okay? And especially if it's going to involve my family, I want to do it. I want to protect my wife. I want to protect my daughter and extended family. I got some close friends. I'll do what I can. But I absolutely hate feeling helpless. I hate those moments when there's nothing I can do. And here Abram, he's seen there's absolutely nothing that he can do. In fact, thinking about it, you remember over there when Jesus was talking about the rich man and Lazarus, and there was Abraham there in paradise comforting Lazarus, and the rich man who was descended from Abraham, you know, he's calling out, "Father Abraham, you know, help me." And Abraham's having to tell him, "There's nothing I can do for you." I can't imagine just how horrible it was. Maybe Abraham even got to see that during this horror of great darkness. I don't know. Okay? But one thing's for sure. His descendants would receive the land. But not until a delay of 400 plus years, you know. Actually, it's about 430 years, but you know, what's 30 years, give or take, when you're talking 400? The point being, the promise would not be fulfilled in his lifetime, but to his lineage, for sure. Okay, the people living in Canaan were generally referred to as the Amorites. Again, such a statement would help the Israelites out in their time to better understand the justness of God. It also showed that the fulfillment of the promise of the land would not be fulfilled in 1 hour, but at a time when absolute justice required it to be done. That's when it would be fulfilled. In all honesty, I don't know how long Abram spent with God that day. Okay, now you think about it. During the course of the vision spoken of in verse number 1, Abram had been shown the night sky and all the stars. Now as the chapter is drawing to a close, we're shown the closing of the day and the start of the next. Remember, their next day started at 6:01 p.m. Okay? That evening and the morning was the first day. We see that over and over in Genesis chapter number 1. And we see the evening and the morning business taking place there after the crucifixion for the 3 days. So, it's a new day. I don't know if Abram spent a full day with God, 2 days, however it was. The point is, at the here in the darkness, Abram could see nothing but God's vision for him. You know, sometimes, church, we got to get out there into the darkness to see what God's got for us. He wants us to step out on faith there and say, "Well, I got plenty of light here. I can't see what's in front of me." Yeah, but when you step out in front of you, you know something that happens when you step into darkness? Your eyes become used to the low light. And eventually you get to where you can see. That's what God was doing for Abram here. Okay? Now, we see the smoking furnace and the burning lamp here. The adjectives smoking and burning, they symbolize activity, of which God is an active God. The furnace was meant for purification, and the lamp was meant for light, with the fire in each representing God's consuming zeal and unapproachable holiness. They were individual items, but they were not separate items. Just as God has His individual aspects, which are parts of His total being. Okay, God is love, yes, but God is also just. God is gracious. God is merciful. God is forgiving. God is also righteous. Okay, all aspects, none of them take away from the sum total of Him, but they show the sum total of Him. Okay, now these two things, the smoking furnace and the burning lamp, they passed through the sacrifice, making the covenant. And they represented God. Not God and Abraham, but God. God alone. Jehovah God Almighty is the only one who went through the sacrifice there. Because He was the only one who could honor the covenant. Abram would have failed. No matter how great of a man he was, he still would have failed. Okay? Now, all this is the setting for it all. That's in verses 18 to 21. The covenant was made while Abram was over there sleeping. The promise of the land extended from Egypt's boundary with Palestine, and that is the Wadi El Arish River east to the Euphrates River. It is not the Nile River, okay? That's more toward the middle. It is this Wadi El Arish River, okay? Now, those precise boundaries leave no wiggle room for anyone to come back later on and challenge the boundaries of Israel, okay? And Israel keep giving away land today for peace, and they're going against God. God says, hey, you're supposed to have all this land. Stop giving it away. And rivers are typically used to set boundaries, you know. It's a little hard for man to change a river. We can move a fence, and we can survey the land all we want and change our starting point for the survey, but you really can't change a river. Okay. Now, our chapter closes out given a list of the nations that were in the land. These people had all disqualified themselves from being left alone in the land because of their great sin. Okay, while Abram wouldn't receive the promise, he did receive assurance. For the Israelites reading this before the march on Canaan land, it was going to be a great source of encouragement to them. To those who would one day be taken captive, they can look back on this chapter and know one day that the Israelites would return to the promised land. Okay? And while some have already gone back in our present day, the return God has promised is far from complete. But they do have this promise from God to lean on. This land is their land. Praise God for that. I hope you've enjoyed this, and may God go with you through the week.